Okay. Welcome again. Those of you on the radio, we're in Mind Character Personality, Volume 2, page 373. Oh, not on page 373. I got to go to Chapter 27, which is page 602 of Volume 2, which the chapter is called Indolence. All right. Let me get this moved over a little bit and see if I can't raise the lettering up. There we go. I read a few of them. First one is obligation to develop intellect to its maximum. God requires the training of the mental faculties. He designs that his servants shall possess more intelligence and clearer discernment than the worldling, and he is displeased with those who are too careless or too indolent to become efficient, well-informed workers. The Lord bids us love him with all the heart and with all the soul and with all the strength and with all the mind. This lays upon us the obligation of developing the intellect to its fullest capacity, that with all the mind we may know and love our Creator. You know, in today's world, because the way things are happening left and right all the time, you know how some people have this massive amount of information in their minds about the Illuminati or the Vatican or the U.S. government or whatever, you know, or the secret societies or like the Skull and Bones with the 322, which happens to be about verse 22 of chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. I even got a graphic where they show an apple that's got a bite out of it with an eyeball in the middle of it, because they're basing their theology on what the serpent said to Eve. That's why they're called Luciferians. But anyway, I always try to figure out what's with the 322. What does that mean? And then you just go to Genesis 322. You'll see what it means. But I am a firm believer in getting large amounts of information and try to, you know, to get myself and my family, loved ones ready. And then, of course, it spills over onto the website. But my first love, of course, being the scriptures, the Lord thy God, is where I concentrate. You know, because you can get caught up. There is so much of it out there because, like, sometimes, like, some of these guys will send me these emails about all this stuff. You know, like Opus Dei or, yeah, it's just unbelievable how it just gets overwhelming to the point where that's just way too much information. I don't have the mental capacity to hold all that and the Word of God. And that's where I love to be, in the Word of God. And so I'll concentrate there. But when there's certain things that the Vatican does or the government does that's point blank, right in your face and out in the open and easier to explain, I'll expose it, of course. But some of these guys are really good at getting way down deep into this information. And it just seems to me like they must not have 9-to-5 jobs because that's got to take forever to do all that stuff. So when she's talking about here, the intellect to the fullest capacity, of course, is mostly scripture, I would have a tendency to lean towards, as well as your lot in life. Whatever the Lord calls you to do with the talents he has given you, do it to the best of your ability. And then, you know, if you're a surgeon, then you have the fullest capacity of your mental abilities on that as well as on scripture, if you're a Christian surgeon, that is. But going on, man finds happiness in labor. Adam had themes for contemplation in the works of God in Eden, which was heaven in miniature. God did not form man merely to contemplate his glorious works. Therefore, he gave him hands for labor as well as a mind and a heart for contemplation. Ever think about that? I mean, I started thinking about that when I was younger in my couch potato days. And I'm sitting there going, I remember that one song, in the year 2525, you know, if man is still alive, and they talk about how he won't have arms and legs because machines will be doing it for him. And I'm thinking, boy, you talk about boredom. Because I actually got to the point one day where it says, I got to do something. I started getting hobbies and making models in my artwork and drawing and whatever. And then all of a sudden when I got a hold of the scriptures, it was like, whoa, this goes way beyond. I'm not that old, okay? This is back in the 70s when I heard that song, okay? But it was a weird song. But the thing is, I realized one day, he says, yes, he gave me hands. I should be doing something. And then, like when I think of the old folks that are in pain, like my parents, for example. Get on a treadmill. 80% of your pain is going to go away. You know, get on a treadmill. Do something. Get busy. Because, you know, like with me, a lot of my work is sitting down behind the desk on the computer and stuff like that. So I got a little trampoline behind me. I got a treadmill upstairs. I rarely use a treadmill. I prefer to go out for walks in the woods. And but I like the trampoline, you know, standing and just bouncing up and down for 20 to 30 minutes. But and it helps the mind, too, you know, with the blood flowing. Keeps you healthy. So continuing, she goes on to say that if the happiness of man consisted in doing nothing, the Creator would not have given Adam his appointed work. Man was to find happiness in labor as well as in meditation. And this, if I would have been told, like I said, if I would have been told this when I was a teenager, I was thinking, man, come on, I just want to sit here on the couch watching TV and growing hair. That's all I wanted to do. But now it's like I could not, that would be, oh, so boring, you know. I mean, if I was forced into doing that, like if I was thrown in jail or something like that, well, then I would just sit there and think of the Lord and pray all day. And just, I would occupy my time by talking to Him. So the next one here is idleness, the greatest curse. The Bible gives no endorsement to idleness. It is the greatest curse that afflicts our world. And I'll read one more. Do cheerfully the daily tasks. Riches and idleness are thought by some to be blessings indeed, but those who are always busy and who cheerfully go about their daily tasks are the most happy and enjoy the best health. The healthful weariness which results from well-regulated labor secures to them the benefits of refreshing sleep. The sentence that man must toil for his daily bread and the promise of future happiness and glory both came from the same throne, and both are blessings. And I have to attest to that, because sitting here, if I don't get up and do some exercises, my body will start hurting in areas. Because I did that for a few years ago, where I didn't do any exercises, and I was getting weak and having pains. And praise the Lord, I just, you know, went into doing some exercise. But go ahead there, sister.
Yeah, I was just going to step in there for Chris. Happiness is fulfilling appointed duties. Real happiness is found only in being good and doing good. The purest, highest enjoyment comes to those who faithfully fulfill their appointed duties. Leisure may lead to despondency. Despondent feelings are frequently the result of undue leisure. Idleness gives time to brood over imaginary sorrows. Many who have no real trials or hardships in the present are sure to borrow them from the future. If these persons would seek to lighten the burdens of others, they would forget their own. Energetic labor would call into action both the mental and physical powers. Sorry, read that wrong. Energetic labor that would call into action both the mental and physical powers would prove an inestimable blessing to mind and body. And developing character. Remember that in whatever position you may serve, you are revealing motive, developing character. Whatever your work, do it with exactness, with diligence. Overcome the inclination to seek an easy task.
Okay, continuing. Mind to be trained not to look at self. The mind should be trained to look away from self, to dwell upon things which are elevated and ennobling. Let not the precious hours of life be wasted in dreaming of some great work to be performed in the future, while the little duties of the present are neglected. Inaction detrimental to self. Sorry, Darlene. I know she wants to read. Oh boy, let's see. Inaction detrimental to health. Sorry, hold on 1 second. Someone's at the door.
A barking cat. So wait on her, or would you like me to read?
Hey Chris, sorry. I couldn't hear you. Do you want to try it again?
Okay. I just said, do we wait on Lynn to come back, or would you like me to read? Okay. Well, Well, you're back, Lynn. Come on. I thought maybe you were moving the dog out or something. But, yeah, no, sorry. When I got kicked off, offline, I must have turned the mic off.
Okie doke. Let me see. Inaction detrimental to health. Invalids should not allow themselves to sink down into a state of inaction. This is highly detrimental to health. The power of the will must be asserted. Aversion to active exercise and the dread of all responsibility must be conquered. They can never recover health unless they shake off this listless, dreamy condition of mind and arouse themselves to action. Too indolent to exercise faculties. Those who are too indolent to realize their responsibilities and exercise their faculties will fail of receiving the blessing of God, and the ability which they had will be taken away and given to the active, zealous workers who increase their talents by constant use.
Well-regulated labor is essential for success, is the next title. Some young men think if they could spend a life in doing nothing, they would be supremely happy. Yeah, I think I was kind of like there with Nick talked about that couch potato thing. That fit me to a T pretty well. By the time I got out of the military, I was tired of people telling me what to do. And between the drugs and TV and laying around, that was about all I wanted to do. I would have been supremely happy to do that for the rest of my life at one point in time. Anyway, to continue, it says, they cultivated a hatred for useful labor. They envy the sons of pleasure who devote their lives to amusement and gaiety. Unhappiness, heartaches are the result of such thoughts and conduct. Nothing to do has sunk many a young man in perdition. Nothing to do also gets you in a lot of trouble sometimes. Because then you go looking for the wrong things to do. Well-regulated, yeah, idle hands. There you go, Nick. That was what I was looking for. Couldn't find it. Well-regulated labor is essential for the success of every youth. God could not have inflicted a greater curse upon men and women than to doom them to live a life of inaction. Idleness will destroy soul and body. The heart, the moral character, and physical energies are all enfeebled. The intellect suffers, and the heart is open to temptation as an open avenue to sink into every vice. The indolent man tempts the devil to tempt him. That is an interesting statement. Tempting the devil to tempt yourself. Next title is The Ravages of Indolent Habits. And then I'll make that the last one, LG. Counsel to Parents is in parentheses. You have been blind to the power that the enemy had over your children. Household labor, even to weariness, would not have hurt them 1/50th part as much as indolent habits have done. They would have escaped many dangers had they been instructed at an earlier period to occupy their time with useful labor. They would not have contracted such a restless disposition, such a desire for change and to go into society. They would have escaped many temptations to vanity and to engage in unprofitable amusements, light reading, idle talking, and nonsense. Their time would have passed more to their satisfaction, and without so great temptation to seek the society of the opposite sex and to excuse themselves in an evil way. Vanity and affection, uselessness and positive sin have been the result of this indolence.
The last one is to strain every muscle. Man is allotted a part in this great struggle for everlasting life. He must respond to the working of the Holy Spirit. It will require a struggle to break through the powers of darkness, and the Spirit works in him to accomplish this. But man is no passive being to be saved in indolence. He is called upon to strain every muscle and exercise every faculty in the struggle for immortality. Yet it is God that supplies the efficiency. No human being can be saved in indolence. The Lord bids us strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able, which is from Luke 13, verse 24. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it, which is Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. And that's the end of chapter 27.